The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon should be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has now come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory even today. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Mark chapter 7, 31 to 37. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the created world good or bad? I'm not asking the question of whether the world does good or bad acts in a moral sense. I'm asking whether the world has been created well or poorly. Now you can look around and see wonderful things in God's creation. Such things testify to God's handiwork, his intelligence, his brilliance in design and execution, his omnipotence and his perfection. On the other hand, you can see things that are not so wonderful in creation. My daughter's, that's all three of my daughter's favorite example of this is mosquitoes. Every time that we go camping or hiking and run into mosquitoes, the question comes to me, Dad, why did God create mosquitoes? Well, that's a good question. Actually, more difficult to answer than you might think. After all, not only are mosquitoes a pesky pest that fly into your eyes and your ears and your nose, they also have a nasty bite that continues for maybe a week. And furthermore, as many of you may know, mosquitoes can carry deadly disease. From 1999 to 2015, the West Nile virus has infected over 43,000 people in this country, and it caused 1,911 deaths. That's in a period of 16 years. Most of these cases are blamed on that same pesky mosquitoes that my girls complain about. Now, there are plenty other bad things in creation, too. That is, there are things that are bad for us. Think about the stormy weather that produces disasters like hurricanes. Think of it right now down in Texas and Houston. Tornadoes. We lived in Indiana, southern Indiana. We worried about that every spring, even the fall. Ice storms. Well, maybe you don't get that here, but it can be devastating in some places. Lightning strikes and those type of things. Well, here in California, we have the creme de la creme. We have horrible earthquakes. And right now, wildfires all over the state. Well, let's just think about earthquakes for a minute. In March 2011, an undersea earthquake off the coast of Tohoku, Japan, was at 9.0 on the Richter scale. It caused a tsunami wave that was up to 133 feet tall and traveled 6 miles inland in some places. Nearly 16,000 people were killed. 1 million buildings were totally or partially collapsed. And in the earthquake, the Earth's axis moved 10 inches. It was the most powerful earthquake to hit Japan since the recording of historical records there. It was the fifth most powerful earthquake anywhere on Earth since the development of seismic gauges in 1900. Now, when you fix your attention on things like mosquitoes, West Nile virus, or the Japan earthquake, you just might think that God botched the creation of this world. See, if his intent, which is what we're talking about in Bible class these days, on Sunday morning, if his intent was to create a place that was not only hospitable, but really very welcoming to mankind, it looked like he got at least part of it wrong and part of it right. And then when you look at human beings, us, with all of our frailties and diseases, you might wonder what kind of creator he really is. When we observe Jesus in the Gospels, as we do again this Sunday, we see Jesus' reaction to his own creation. Now, don't forget that according to the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, Jesus existed before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Jesus was there in person at the creation of the world, and he was involved with it. Jesus was there as God's design for this earth was executed in 6 days. Jesus was there in person as Adam was formed, came to life, and when Eve was brought to Adam. You might remember that God said after this creation of things, all these things on this earth, he said it was very good. So by God's judgment, the created world is very good. It is very good. But then Jesus, in our text, comes across the deaf-mute man. Deafness is not a good creation. God did not create deafness. It's a lack of part of his good creation. Now, we have various names for people like this deaf man in our culture. The proper term today is disability. This man had a very significant disability in that he could not hear and he had impeded speech. So this affected not only his ability to work, but his ability to relate and to socialize with everybody, including his own family. We don't know the extent or type of deafness that this man had, but it was apparently related to his speech. And this deaf man lived in a closed world, which you can understand in part if you read the writings of Helen Keller. So what did Jesus do when he saw this deaf man, part of his creation? In verse 34, it says that Jesus sighed and that he healed the man. That sigh of Jesus is very important. Some theologians say this sigh was out of compassion. And Jesus was certainly compassionate, as the Gospels declare in many places. For example, Matthew 9:36. But I think this sigh is here, was expressed by Jesus for a different reason. It's like the sigh of an inventor whose invention doesn't work. You work on it year after year, and you're ready to show it, and oh, great. Back to the drawing board. It was the sigh of a creator whose creation has gone bad or is botched. St. Paul writes about the sigh of the creator and the groans of the creation in Romans 8:20 to 23. I quote, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only it, but we also ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies." End of quote. Do you know what Paul's talking about here? He's talking about the consequences of the fall, that is, the sin of Adam and Eve, as those were consequences were imposed by God on the created world. After Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, God imposed on a perfectly created world both corruption and frustration. Frustration means the created world doesn't work as it was supposed to, or as it was created, but it is frustrated. Included in this frustration is God's curses of backbreaking labor, crop failures, and hard labor for women. And those are explicit in the curse at the fall. Corruption means the tendency for living things to die and decay, and for non-living things to tend toward disorder and chaos. Included in this corruption are the diseases and disabilities that affect you personally, and one or more of which will eventually cause you to die. So here is our conclusion. The world was created very good, yes, even perfectly. But since the fall, it's a botched job. It wasn't botched by God. It was botched by Adam's sin, with the consequence that God imposed corruption and frustration on the created world. God promised Adam, "The day that you eat of it, you will truly die." Adam had no concept of everything that that word death entailed. All mankind has been dying ever since. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus came into this world to deal with the root cause of creation's corruption and frustration. Jesus came into this world to deal with sin in general and your sin in particular. Until sin is gone, the world can't be fixed. But when sin is gone, the world can be fixed. When Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all the sins of all the people in the world, of all the people in history, from Adam and Eve until the last person conceived before his return. And all the sins of the world were paid right there on Good Friday. Now, what happened when Jesus died? More than appears to the eye. The created world, the non-intelligent created world, knew something was happening to sin and to the powers of sin. The sun became darkened, Luke 23:24. There was darkness over the face of the whole land for 3 hours, Matthew 27:45. When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. The earth quaked, the rocks were split, the graves were opened, and saints were raised from the dead and appeared to many people. Matthew 27:51-53. This raising of the saints when Jesus died demonstrated that the corruption and frustration of creation was starting to be rolled back as the sin of the world was being taken away. The events of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, the events that surrounded this thing that we have every Sunday that we look at, they prove that the bad things of this world are not permanent. Jesus will return someday to restore creation to its initial perfection, to restore you to life, and to restore your body to its planned perfection. Now, I know all of you think your body's perfect, right? No, you know. Even the young people know it's not perfect. When Jesus comes, he'll make it that way. Jesus wants to return someday to restore creation, your life and your body. And all of creation, the dogs, the cats, the sheep, the cows, even the mosquitoes, all of the angels and God himself are looking forward to that great day of restoration from which all Christians derive their hope. And from this hope, which is most certainly true, you can know that Jesus wants to help you with every need that you have, every need that you have of body and soul. He wants to do that. He wants to restore his creation. So you can always ask the Father, through Jesus, for every need of your body and soul. You can know that this is certainly God's will and desire for you, since he wants to restore all of creation, including you. But you know, the answer is not always yes. When it comes to chronic illness, disability, and similar long-term problems of our body, you may have to wait a while in the doctor's waiting room. You may have to wait with the rest of creation until Jesus returns. You may have to wait until the resurrection of all flesh, and that will happen on the last day. Even so, as we wait for Jesus, we thank God for his ongoing love and his compassion for us poor, miserable sinners. In the name of Jesus, the Savior of all creation. Amen.